I knew when I put down the title for today, with it being immediately after our conference for last week, that the odds of me actually speaking on that topic were pretty low. But we are going to talk about relationship today, but in a different way. Our theme for today is free to love. And our title is supposed to be the joy of relationship. We're going to look at relationship in a very wide framework. But before I get started, Decoy also went to the conference, the convention with me last week. We don't know what it's called. It's changed its name so many times. We just know it was awesome and had a great time. And I'd like to invite Dee up to share with us some of his experience.
All right. Free to love, huh? This is coming with, from a woman with beads around her neck, and so I don't know. I'm just saying. It is. She asked me where my beads were, and I said, well, I still have a reputation that I'm trying to keep.
I'm not telling we were in New Orleans for the ones who don't know.
Oh, that would make a little more sense. What are they talking about? We were all in New Orleans last week, or this last week. That's where CSL held their convention this year. And I went as a delegate. I just want to, first of all, thank you and thank the leadership of this church that decided that it was important that we send delegates to this convention. And they sent me, and I was happy to represent you, and that's what I was there for. And this was a historic year. As most of you know, there were two organizations who were leading the New Thought work using the science of mind and religious science. And we decided several years ago that we were going to somehow come back into one organization. And that integration is now complete. We did that this weekend, yes. So we came together as actually three corporations. We came there as the International Centers for Spiritual Living and the United Centers for Spiritual Living and the Centers for Spiritual Living, the corporation that we set up last year that would be there ready to integrate with the other two over this past year. And there are a whole bunch of resolutions and such that, you know, people have been working on for many, many years to make this happen and make it happen smoothly and transparently and making it happen so that everybody from the bottom up and the top down were on board with what it was we were doing. And I can tell you that that all happened. And when we got together up down there in Louisiana, they had about 2.5 days set up for the business part of the convention. We go to convention every year. There's a big portion of it that's business-oriented. And they set up 2.5 days, and we got it all done in one day because there was consensus in this organization and the organization that we were integrating with that this is exactly what we wanted to do. And so we did that, and we are one, and there is no more two. And a couple of other things that we did that are different is, one, we elected a president. We've never had a president before. And so we elected Reverend John Waterhouse. Reverend Doctor. Do not leave out the doctor. I learned that a long time ago. Ooh. And he is going to be our president, and he is going to be the one that is going to lead the business side of the organization and the organizational part of the organization as it is, with integrity, and as in accordance with our teachings. We also have a new spiritual leader that was elected at convention this year. And for those of you who have been watching, Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn, who's been our spiritual leader for the past several years, and you know and respect the work that she's done, I can tell you that she passed this torch of spiritual leadership this week with the perfect ease and grace that she has always exhibited in all of her work as our spiritual leader. The one other thing she did, she left it with some heartfelt tears also. And there were a lot of tears in the room that night when she turned over her spiritual leadership to our new spiritual leader, Reverend Dr. Ken Gordon. And for those of you who don't know him, I invite you to find out as much about him and look for his vision and his work for our organization as he moves forward. And he got up on our final night during our banquet, and he spoke to us for the first time as our new spiritual leader. And that's really what I want to share with you, some of the feelings that he had and some of the vision that he has and some of the concerns he has. First of all, you know, this integration process, it's kind of spiritual mathematics where one and one equals one. And it's new and it's different and it's a little hard to get your hands around this idea that the past two organizations are no longer they're part of our foundation but not part of our future, because our future is only in the oneness. And coming together, since we are brand new as a new organization, we have new people who are representing all the different aspects of the church. We have a new laity council and a new ministers council and a new practitioners council. And we have new leadership at the top. And you know what we do not have? We do not have the integration of the new vision. Because as a new organization, we will be taking up that new vision of who we are and how we're going up and out into the world. And we have our one goal as we have come together in integration is to touch 100 million lives. And we do not, absolutely. Because as Reverend Ken told us, the way he sees it, he sees the whole idea of us as an organization being open at the top, because this is important, because at the top, we do not have the consciousness of the whole. It's important that we build the consciousness of the whole, because there is more wisdom in that consciousness of the many than there is in the wisdom of any one individual. And so that's why we need to go out, and we want to go out. And as Teresa said, life is about action. And we know all about being who we are as spiritual entities in human form. And the life part of that life part of it is going out in action. And so that is about being something more, and that's about touching the 100 million lives out there. And his main concern is that now we've been spending all of this time and energy integrating and coming into the oneness and putting into place this that is going to go forward in a higher vision. And we're at a place of rest. We're at a place, a fork in the road. We're at a destination that we've been working to get to. And as human beings, whenever we reach our destination, there's a tendency to pause. And there's a tendency to reflect. And there's always that little tug to look backwards, to look at where we've been. And he said, now is not the time to do that. Now is not the time to rest in this place that we've been working at to get. Now is not the time to look back at where we've been, but to look forward. And even though we do not have yet our vision in place, we can rest in faith that that vision is coming. We do not have the programs in place to get to where we're going next, but we have faith that we are the beings that will get there intact, and we will bring with us that 100 million. That 100 million people that will come together in consciousness, and the consciousness of that 100 million people will change this world. And that's his vision for us, his plan for us, and I invite us all to take our part in that life of action and move forward to touch those 100 million lives. Thank you.
I have been to, I think, all but one of the last 10 conferences, conventions, gatherings, whatever we're calling them at the moment. This was the most inspiring experience I have ever had. I come to you with a great understanding that the vision that I hold for this community has been too small. My vision has always been to reveal wholeness in every being that I come in contact with. Our vision as a community of the Centers for Spiritual Living is to touch 100 million lives. And if you look around here, we're a few people short. And if you look around every center in this world, we're a few people short. But this movement is so much more than we've ever been before. Back in the 90s, when I was still part of the Dayton Center at that time, I can't even remember what we were called, the Dayton Church of Religious Science, Reverend Eunice was my minister. And I remember her saying in the late 90s that the 20th century was a time of great individualism, and the 21st century was to be a century of oneness, a century of all coming together as one. This is one reason we sang We Are One today. And as I thought about it and I listened to the inspiration of taking this movement, taking these teachings out to the world, I was so touched. We say, and we know, change your thinking, change your life. But we are taking it a step further. We are changing our thinking, we are changing our lives, we are changing our mind, and we choose to change the world. If we step forward in principle, if we step forward in the power of who we are as members of Centers for Spiritual Living, we come from a place of love and acceptance. We honor and inspire every teaching. We embrace and honor every path to God there is, even if they don't call it God. Whatever that supreme being, that supreme understanding is, we honor each person, how they arrive at that place. And as I said, my vision has been too small. I want to acknowledge that there are many of you in this room who carry a much higher vision than I have carried. Joni, would you please stand? Joni and her service circles have been part of that vision of touching 100 million lives. Would anyone who has ever served on a service circle please stand? Would anyone who has ever served as a volunteer in an organization please stand? Almost everyone is standing. And the ones who aren't standing are just standing because they are not standing because they forgot how they serve. You may be seated. As I was thinking about this and thinking about Ernest Holmes' work and words, that as we move through these teachings, part of what we are to do is to serve. And when you think about touching 100 million lives, it sounds a little overwhelming. I want to share with you, first of all, what the youth of this movement have done. Since 2007 and before that, the youth of Religious Science International, and I'm sure that was the old organization, and some of the youth from the organization formerly known as United Centers for Spiritual Living, have been calling themselves Centers for Spiritual Living a lot longer than the rest of us. And I went to that website this morning because one of the things Dr. Ken had talked about was the schools that our youth have been building in, I can say this when I don't look at it, do you remember the name of the? It's Malawi, Africa. Malawi, Africa, which is about in the center of Africa. They went there in 2007 and built a school. They are working in coordination with an organization that was called Building with Books, and I believe now it's now called Build On. They built one school in 2007. They have now built, our youth have now built a total of 8 schools. They have financed and built 8 schools. They have done more than that. They have gone to Malawi and helped dig the foundation. I think they also helped build the bricks that were made to create these schools. The schools that they have built educate over 6,200 children and 1,200 adults. They are taking this teaching of love and oneness to the world. And we in the center are taking these teachings of one, that we are one, and love and oneness to the world. As many of you know, we tithe to two organizations in this community. We have tithed to several others. Joni has had service circles to even more. I believe it was last year or the year before on Earth Day, a group of, how many, about 12 of you, went out and planted trees. And we have supported Matthew 25. And in Matthew 25, Jesus has said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I needed clothes, you clothed me," etc. And those listening to him said, "When have you ever seen me hungry? When have we ever seen you hungry? When have we ever seen you without clothes? Whenever have we seen you in need?" And his response was, "When you do this to the least, you do it for me." So when we go out in service, we are creating relationship worldwide. Matthew 25 Ministries is another organization that we have tithed to, and we've also done service. I went on their website this morning. Matthew 25 has supported 11 million people worldwide. In this year only, they have supported 1.8 million people and created 3.4 million meals. They've sent out 72 semi-loads of goods. And in our own way, we have supported that ministry. More directly, for the last 2 years, we have supported Crayons to Computers, which supports our teachers. One of the reasons why Crayons to Computers was created was they realized that our very underpaid educational staff and teachers usually spend somewhere from between $500 and $1,000 out of their own pockets each year to buy school supplies. And it may well be more than that. So Crayons to Computers supplies and opportunities for teachers to get a huge grocery basket stacked as high as they can stack it, full of supplies, if they meet certain requirements. If they don't meet those requirements, they can get that same basket of supplies by donating, I believe it's 3 hours of their time. In the school year of 2009-2010, Crayons to Computers helped 18,971 teachers with $11.5 million worth of school supplies. We are touching lives through our support of these organizations. We also supported Faces Without Places last year, which is for the Cincinnati area and some of our outlying communities. And the purpose for Faces Without Places is to support those children who become homeless. And part of the law around children who are homeless is, even when those children are homeless, they have the right to go to school in their home school. But if a child has become homeless and it may be living with a grandparent across town, how do they get to their school? How do they get the birth certificates that may be lost between moving many, many times in many, many places? How do they get the uniforms that they need? How do they get the backpacks and supplies? Faces Without Places has helped 3,000 children to get those needs and have provided services for 7,700 students. They did it last year with our support. Y'all haven't worked with Faces Without Places, but you have worked with Meals for Kids and Feeding the Hungry and other things. We are doing our part to get these teachings out to the world. I believe it is my job to teach you the principle and to help you get to the place where you can spread those principles to every person that you come in contact with. I believe that it is my job to help you change your thinking so that your life evolves to a place where you want to see the world change, where you want and desire and understand that it is possible to really have a world that works for everyone. As many times as I heard Dr. Ken use the phrase, a world that works for everyone, I have a really strong feeling that that is his tagline as he goes out and presents these teachings to the world. As our spiritual leader, he is the one who will go represent us at the World Congress of Religions. He is the one who will sit down next to the Dalai Lama in dialogue. He is the one, given the opportunity, who will speak to the UN. And though Dr. Michael Beckwith and Agape is no longer directly connected by name to this organization, he honors and exemplifies these teachings, and 10 days ago he spoke to the UN yet again. And I know when he spoke to the UN several years ago, he was one of the few speakers of that day to get a standing ovation. And I'm sure that as he presented his teachings thoroughly grounded in the teachings of Dr. Ernest Holmes, that he helped the UN, the United Nations, understand that we believe, we teach, and we know we are all one. That there is no separation. And that it is our job and our responsibility to embrace the uniqueness and the presence of every person we come in contact with. And Dr. Ken went into some passionate speaking along this line. And he said, that means everyone, even the person you just said except to. And he said, I'm sure we will all continue to have a few exceptions. But that's not our job, our calling here on this planet at this time is to honor and recognize the oneness in every person. One of the things that we were encouraged to do is when we meet somebody different, who doesn't look like us, who doesn't think like us, who has different politics than we do, or whatever feels uncomfortable to you, take the opportunity to get to know that person. Take the opportunity to be in a space of acceptance and understanding with that person. And to value and acknowledge what they bring to the party. I know Edwin Gaines has said for years this is a party planet. And after spending a week in New Orleans is definitely a party city. One of the ministers put on the listserv, well, two comments from two of the ministers on the listserv. One said that this is the first time in history that a religious organization had split, which we did in the mid-50s, and had come back together in wholeness. We made history, people. And as one minister said, who was from the organization formerly RSI, as I was talking to him, he said, you know, this is the most loving space convention I have ever been to. He said, and it hasn't been too many years since our conferences were not a place of love. But this is a place of love and love and acceptance. One of the things Dr. Ken said, and one of the things that I claim also for this spiritual community, is we have to find a different way to do things. We can't take the way we've always done it and move into this new model and this new way of thinking and say, but that's the way we've always done it. There must be a little difference in the way the organization formerly known as RSI and the organization formerly known as United Religious Science Church, there's a little different way in the way we pray. They may use 6 steps. We used 5 steps. But it is very clear. I've heard as many as 17 steps. I don't know where they are. And they can, I don't want to learn that. I would never be able to do 17 steps, which is our method of scientific prayer. He said, he talked about hearing people pray. And though there may have been a difference in format, that power of oneness, that power of knowing God as all places and every place was there. And that's one thing my teacher, when I was taking these classes, said, if you get the first 2 steps right, knowing God is all there is and knowing that you are one with God, nothing else matters. And we both come from that place. I would like to recommend, and I didn't get the website down or I would give it to you. I went to International Centers for Spiritual Living this morning and clicked on their youth link and found pictures of what those kids are doing and found pictures in a little video of building the school in Africa. And if you want to have your heart touched in a way that it hasn't been touched in a long time, take the time to watch that 8-minute video. I'll put it out on our email for those of you who are on it. I'll set up a link for it. We are doing some wonderful things in this world. We are doing some absolutely fantastic things here in this community. One of the organizations I didn't mention was the Madisonville Emergency Assistance Program that we also support. And I know that they are amazed at what this, they call it, this little church, does to support them. We are a community that is living the teachings of this philosophy by giving back what we are receiving. And by embracing and understanding that part of why we are here is to serve. I'm so proud of each one of you, and I want to thank you so much for all that you do, both in this spiritual community and outside in the world at large. Some of us give our time, some of us give our checks, and some of us give both. Thank you. Join me in prayer. Oh, thank you. And we'll just take a moment, just get comfortable in your seat. Take a few deep breaths. And take a moment and visualize in your heart, what would a world that worked for everyone feel like? and allow that feeling to bring a smile to your face. And if, like me, you're feeling love and peace and harmony and joy, just let that filter out and fill this room. And knowing that this room is too small to hold it, let it float over and embody and embrace Cincinnati and Kentucky and Ohio and West Virginia, the entire country, and then the entire world, because it mixes and all the other love and joy and peace and support that is the truth of Mother Earth. And this planet is too small to hold it. And it fills the Milky Way and it fills the universe. And as we touch this place of love, of peace, of harmony, this place that is God, that is Spirit, we begin to understand the infinite power of the universe, the infinite power that is God, that is Spirit. And we understand that we are one with the One because there is only One. And we understand and embody and embrace that we are one. Not just in this room, but in this universe. All is God, all is now, and we are one with the infinite. And feeling this power, this passion, this wholeness, this oneness, this God that is Spirit. I know for and as each one of us that we claim this knowingness that is God, that is Spirit in every fiber, every cell, every tissue of our being. As healthy, loving, joyous relationships. As whole bodies functioning at every cell, every fiber, every tissue, every system of our being. Vibrates with the wholeness that is God, that is Spirit. And we have bodies that work for us. As the world works for everyone, we feel it, we know it, we are it. We are one with the infinite. I give thanks for this wonderful organization that we are a part of, known as Centers for Spiritual Living. I give thanks for this wonderful community that we are in today, Centers for Spiritual Living of Greater Cincinnati. I give thanks for the teachings of Dr. Ernest Holmes, of Jesus, of Buddha, of Krishna, and all the great teachers who come to mind, Muhammad. I give thanks for each one. And I am so grateful to know God is all there is. And from this place of gratitude and thanksgiving, I lovingly release these words to Spirit as together we say, and so it is, and so I let it be.